Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. I'm David Lovejoy, and we might sound a little different this morning, having some technical issues with some equipment that runs our boards and our sound. So we're having to do it another way. We're going old school this morning, but that doesn't stop us from talking to Ms. Steely Fischbacher. She's with the Texas Wheat Producers Board and Association, and it's a busy time of year for Texas wheat. Ms. Steely, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very good. Your struggles here with your technical issues are not that uncommon in our office and are certainly not uncommon for our farmers. So I think we can all understand that we're on the same team.
Yes, ma'am, I know. And it's technology. Sometimes it's a boon, and other days it's a bust, I'll tell you what. But this is the kickoff. This is a very important time, especially for wheat producers, as they try to get that winter wheat in the ground, get that crop set and ready to go. You have any updates on planting around our region?
Yeah, we do. So our most recent USDA report from the National Ag Statistics Service has us at 44% planted statewide. Most of that wheat is going to be planted in the rolling plains in the panhandle at this point. Haven't started planting over in the Blacklands region just yet. Our percent emerged is at 9%. So that's kind of lagging behind where we are in our planting progress. And most of that is due to just really dry conditions. We look at our weekly Ag in Drought report that's also released by USDA. And Texas, 88% of our winter wheat growing area is in some category of drought. So that's really kind of working against us in terms of getting that crop established and emerged and getting a good start. Oklahoma, you know, the same is true for our neighbors. So Oklahoma, 100% of their wheat area is categorized as drought, and Kansas, 87%. So that Southern Plains region all the way north into Nebraska is really hurting. We're seeing some of that come through support in our prices. Futures markets right now, so at least that is kind of a silver lining here, but just really challenging conditions for a lot of our growers. Some of our irrigators are kind of irrigating wheat up or doing some pre-watering, but just really dry conditions in most of our wheat planting area right now. Other things that are kind of impacting our marketing side, the U.S. dollar continues to be near a 20-year high. So that's kind of hampering some of our export sales, even though we did meet kind of our expectations last week in that report. We continue to see escalations in the Russian-Ukraine conflict and concerns about the future of that grain export agreement. So there's still kind of some global issues here that will be lending support to our wheat price. And at that same time, our growers are trying to manage planting that crop and making very important decisions. So September 30th was our crop insurance sales closing date. So our growers had to go in and choose what type of insurance they will be putting on for this year's wheat crop. Good news there was that we did have a very favorable base price of $8.79. So that level of revenue protection for those growers who want that type of protection is there. At the same time, that lends itself to higher premiums, so a little bit more risk in terms of the cost of that product. Annual forage for our growers who are participating in the annual forage program, that planting deadline for growing season one is coming up October 15th. So they have a little bit of time here to kind of make those final decisions and then get that acreage reported in for their annual forage policies. That annual forage policy is based on rainfall. So if you're in, you know, most of our panhandle region that has not had significant rainfall, that's kind of impacting those decisions that will be made here. But obviously, you know, a big demand for grazing and forage,
yeah,
and just kind of battling those needs versus what we can actually achieve in the field right now.
Yeah, that a critical time as we kick off the start of the winter wheat season. And one of the things that you're kicking off now also, research. It starts a new calendar year, and some of the things that you guys are funding, and what are some of the research projects that are ahead for Texas wheat?
Yeah, so research, anytime we get to this time of year and we're planting a crop, we are also planting those year-long research projects. So it's always an exciting time to kind of think about the new information we might glean from this year's list of projects. This was a challenging year for our board setting those research goals just because, you know, whenever we have a lower production year, that means our checkoff income is lower as well. So trying to balance those budget needs, you know, it's a series of trade-offs. We want to make sure that we can continue a very strong research portfolio that gives value back to our farmers so that they see value in our checkoff and are reaping the benefits of that. But at the same time, we have limited funds for this year. So I think we tried to do our best. We made trims and cuts in our budget in other places just for trying to keep our research portfolio as strong as we could.
Yeah.
So a couple of the things that are in there are obviously the breeding programs. We have one of those stationed right here in the High Plains in Amarillo. So Jackie Rudd leads the wheat breeding efforts here along with a very deep team of weeding scientists and experts that help him. And then we also have a breeding program that's operated out of College Station that's led by Dr. Amir Ibrahim. So that leads to new varieties, the TAM varieties that are very popular and continue to kind of win acreage whenever we see the survey that's sent out to farmers asking them what varieties they plant. We continue to very regularly see those TAM varieties be the most popular, as well as the variety trials. So these are variety trials held across the state in various regions. We have several locations here in the Panhandle where we show, you know, how the various varieties can perform and what kind of insect and disease resistance characteristics they have. And you're able to go out actually in the field and see how they've performed. And so that's always been very beneficial to growers. We receive that feedback in our office and continue to support those variety trials. Kind of a newer project for this year is trying to advance what we can do on testing for viruses. So we know, and even last year was kind of a high virus year, and especially when you're operating on limited rainfall, you may not see some of the rust disease that we sometimes get here in the Panhandle, but like mosaic virus, High Plains virus, you know, those things were very detrimental to our wheat crop. And in an already stressed environment where you don't have enough rainfall, those viruses can be even more damaging. And so being able to accurately test for those and even new emerging viruses that are new threats to our region, being able to accurately test and then give recommendations to growers that make economic sense.
Yeah.
We know all of our input costs are very high, and so those decisions are very difficult. You know, is it going to be worth it to go out and spray this field or put on that fungicide or whatever, you know, decision they have to make? It all comes down to economics. So trying to give them the best tools that we can is part of this research work that's going to be ongoing this year. So in addition to that, we are partners, obviously, with the National Association of Wheat Growers and U.S. Wheat Associates. And they have funded a life cycle assessment for wheat. So that will be looking at the sustainability metrics for wheat from 1980 to today.
Wow.
And basically measuring the progress that our wheat farmers have made in sustainability. Because we know that they have vastly improved their practices, their efficiencies, and their use of natural resources across that time. But at the same time, being able to put a value on that and a number that we can take to Congress and have those conversations about the tremendous work that our growers are doing is going to be very valuable. So we'll be participating in that, and our growers will, providing feedback on kind of the practices and the changes that they've made in efficiency across their operations, just to see that tremendous progress that's been made by wheat growers and have a very detailed story to tell.
Yeah, that's amazing. Texas Wheat does. We just looked at on-the-ground planting as you start the season, the research, looking at the future of wheat in the Texas Panhandle and across the state of Texas. Another place that the Texas wheat producers really dive in and are the advocate for the producer is in the State House. And just this week, or last week rather, you had a meeting, a legislative fly-in, where you sat down and got to speak with members of Congress and discuss the upcoming priorities for one major thing, the Farm Bill 2023. How were those meetings, and what did you glean from those?
Yeah, so last week we were in Lubbock, and we had a sit-down conversation with both of the ranking members from the Senate and the House Ag Committee. So kind of the very top, most important people we'll need to be working with over the next year as we move into Farm Bill deliberation. So that would be Senator Bozeman of Arkansas and then Congressman G.T. Thompson of Pennsylvania. So they both are in the minority in their part in their chamber. They're serving as ranking members on those very important committees. What we talked about there, number one, you know, a big priority for us after, you know, the devastating wheat crop that we had last year and the drought that still continues to hamper our wheat production is, you know, what can we do to extend the emergency relief program, this disaster aid that's been approved for 20 and 21, but there's currently no coverage for 2022. So it was very encouraging to hear both of those leaders that they had, you know, significant awareness of the needs and that they were both actively working on securing that extension for 2022. So we're going to continue to work with them. It looks like the best avenue for doing something like that will come later in the year, hopefully maybe after the election, whenever there's a longer-term funding of Congress bill. So we know that this week they passed a CR to get them into December, so possibly at that time they'll be considering an omnibus. And it really sounds like both of these leaders are fully behind trying to secure some type of disaster aid for growers who experienced widespread drought. Now we'll also, you know, add in the damages from the hurricane because there will be significant agricultural losses there too. So the need will certainly be there and will justify the ask. At the same time, you talked about moving into a new farm bill. Depending on the results of the election, either one or both of these guys could be the chairman of those committees and will be in an even stronger position to make changes and improvements that we were asking for. So my board really feels like improvements to Title I is their top priority in this farm bill. Obviously, you know, we really value crop insurance and maintaining what we have there and then making kind of strategic improvements will be very important. But at the same time, they recognize the value of Title I programs. You know, existing programs are ARC and PLC. Most of our wheat farmers, you know, up until this point have been in PLC, and now they get the option to make that decision annually. But what type of improvements do we need to make there? Because those programs are not paying out right now. Specifically, PLC has a reference price of $5.50. Well, our market prices are well above that, so we're not earning a PLC payment. That's how the program is currently designed to work, but it doesn't take into account the increasing inflation pressures that are on our growers and their cost of production and their yield losses that they continue to see in drought conditions and otherwise. So taking a closer look at that, do we need to increase those reference prices? Do we need to index them where they're reflective of inflationary pressures? Or should we look at some type of margin program? You know, that is something that G.T. Thompson talked about quite a bit with our group is, you know, it's really about the margin. It doesn't really matter where your price is if your expenses are skyrocketing.
Right.
And our growers understand that. So, you know, continuing to have those conversations, flesh out what those needs are and the programs will continue to be a big priority for us, but really great opportunity for us to sit down with those two leaders of those committees and start to have those conversations.
I was wondering also, you know, we talked about the pricing, the disaster relief. We talked a couple of weeks ago, and at that time, Taiwan had just signed that big trade agreement for 69.8 million bushels of wheat over the next 2 years. Did you guys delve into any trade issues in the sit-down?
You know, trade was brought up, and mostly as a concern. What we're hearing from the Biden administration, you know, so far they've been very slow to nominate their ag officials who will focus on, or their trade officials who will focus on agriculture. Those officials are still not in place. Good news is that the Senate has, you know, had their confirmation hearings. They've forwarded those through their respective committees, but they're certainly not passed by the Senate yet. So hopefully that will be done very soon. At that point, we would expect those individuals to get more vocal on making trade deals, getting rid of trade barriers, but that's just not the focus that we're seeing right now from this administration. So most of that trade conversation with these, with the ranking members focused on, you know, what can we do as an industry and how can we help you as legislators raise awareness of the importance here of trade and keep that ball moving and make it more of a priority so that we can achieve some of those goals, just like you mentioned in that individual agreement we had with Taiwan.
Yeah, very good stuff there. And like I said, pushing toward the farm bill, a new farm bill. And it's just that's what Texas Wheat does. You step into a lot of different fields, everything from marketing to research and, of course, advocacy and legislative houses. And it just sounds like a great week for Texas Wheat. Hopefully, maybe we get a little moisture here and help out those folks that are planting and get that crop up and hopefully a good winter and have some great results at the end of it, Ms. Steele.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for the time.
Anytime, Ms. Steele. That's it for today's edition of the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. If you have any questions or like to find out more about what the Texas Wheat producers do, go to their website, texasweet.org.